Temptations. Have you ever thought about Jesus being tempted in the desert? Like, doesn't it seem kind of odd that he would go out just to be tempted? As though the devil's going to win against him? Like, do you really think the devil's going to win against God and tempt him? It's kind of a strange event overall, and it's even stranger if we look at the nuances of the passage. Because it doesn't say that Jesus just went out into the desert, it said the Spirit drove him out into the desert. The literal word in Greek is to be thrown out. He threw him out into the desert. The Spirit, God's own Spirit, his very self, threw him out into the desert. It's very vulgar. It's very bold. It shows that there must be something really important about this event. And the answer is there is. Because through it, Jesus teaches us a few things. First of all, he teaches us the importance of temptations. As the letter to the Hebrews says so boldly, every son who the Father loves will be tempted or tried. And if you are not tried, you are not a son, but a bastard. That's a direct quote. So it shows that temptations and trials teach us something. Although Jesus could not be tempted, he is also human. So he had to do something with that. And the thing he did is he perfected his resolve. His resolve to really trust God completely. His resolve to follow God's will above everything else. And the virtues that were instilled through temptation and trial. Courage, fortitude, strength, all these things come only through temptations and trials. The second thing he showed us was how to fight them. He fought them by quoting law. Mark's gospel is way too short to teach us what he actually did. It just mentioned that he was tempted. Matthew and Luke, however, teach us how he dealt with that by quoting law, the book of Deuteronomy. He does it three times, each for each of the temptations. What does that mean for us? We all experience temptations. We all have trials in our lives. If you don't have any trials or temptations, I have bad news for you. It means the devil has a stronghold on you. Because the deeper you dive into the spiritual life, the deeper you get in prayer, the closer you get to God, the tougher the temptations become. Because God is trying us, and he's showing the perfection that comes through that. If we really want to grow in virtue, we have to have them be tried. If we really want to perfect our faith, it has to be challenged. And most importantly, if we want to perfect love, true love for God, it means it also has to be tried, that it can be pure. And not just me going, oh, I kind of love God, I'm forced to love him, whatnot. No, we have to really desire it, which means it has to be tried. Now the challenge we have is as we deal with our temptations, we have two things that result from them. The first is that we exaggerate them. We treat them as though they're really big, huge obstacles that we have to overcome. We treat them as though they're like crows pecking out our eyes and face. They're constantly there assaulting us, digging into our face, and we have to like beat them away in order to succeed. The second temptation or struggle we'll have is that we try to do them ourselves. I can fight my temptations. I can rise above them. If only I am strong enough, I will win. Both of those are wrong, and Jesus teaches us why. We always think that if we want to fight temptations, we just get a little stronger. What was Jesus' example? Did he actually contend with the devil? The answer is no. When he was fighting the temptations the devil gave him, he complied by walking along and going wherever the devil took him, and as soon as the temptation was presented before him, he just quoted law. That's all he did. He didn't fight. He didn't try and create these wonderful arguments about how the devil must be wrong or create these eloquent speeches about how he must be right. He just quotes law. Boom. What that shows us is if we want to fight against the temptations of our lives, the temptations of the world, the struggles we have, we need a firmness of purpose, a firmness in our life, an establishment of what is right and true so that we don't get swayed by the things of the world. And that's what Jesus teaches us. The nice thing is, we have an immense amount of help in this. We're not doing it alone. As it says in the book of Genesis, God established a covenant. The covenant he establishes is something so bold and so beautiful that we don't realize its implications. The covenant he established with Noah was, I am God and you are my people. There's nothing else. I will be your God. I will care for you every step of the way. I will be with you in every trial and temptation, giving you everything you need to fight. You just have to be my people. And from that point forward, even going back further to Adam, and following all the way through the Old Testament, which we don't always see, into the New Testament, even to our modern day, God has remained faithful. He's always been with his people. And the Old Testament proclaims that with a boldness. When he sent them into exile, when he took them all these different places, he would go out to meet them. It wasn't just, hey, know that I'm with you. It's, see, I am with you. The same thing for us. We are never alone in our temptations. We're never alone in our struggles. And if we realize that, we'll realize that we also can't fight them without him. The only way we truly win is to turn to him and say, God, I need your help. And that ignores the temptation, focuses on where we ought to be, which is with God, and puts us on the straight and narrow again. Our temptation, however, is to fight them. Like we're fighting off all those crows, beating them down, thinking we can fight them. There are way too many crows. The better analogy to really understand how temptations work is to compare them to flies. They're just pesky annoyances that we brush off and we move on. If we see them as that, where we try to ignore them and just go the direction we need to, they won't have as much sway over us. They won't be as powerful. And therefore, we will be more successful because we are firmly rooted in what we ought to do and where we're going, and we also realize that they have no power. Then we have no struggles. A good example of what I mean, my rector in seminary gave us the example that when he was a young seminarian, he went off to help the sister in Africa distribute food. So there he is in this country with all these people around, and there's all these flies buzzing around all the people. And so he started swatting at them and getting them off people and working diligently to keep the flies away from the people. The sister came up to him and said, "Stop swatting the flies and get to feeding the people." And he realized what he was doing wrong. He had spent so much time focusing on the flies and getting them off the people that he didn't realize why he was there, which was to feed the people. Same thing works for us. We spend so much time fighting temptations, so much energy and effort, that we forget what we're really about. It's about the worship of God. It's about focusing on him. And so, my brothers and sisters, I strongly encourage you to take up this challenge. We need a firmness of purpose. We need a boldness to our lives that shows that I want God above anything else, and I'm willing to follow him. Because once we establish that and establish ourselves in that relationship, then we have a direction. We have somewhere to go. So that when the things of the world start to sway us and cause us harm, we don't get so caught off guard. The second thing we have to realize is that temptations will come. They're going to be there. They need to be there. They are necessary. If we are to perfect our faith, if we're to perfect love, if we're to grow as good, bold Christian people, then we need those temptations, and we need to deal with them well. We need to understand their character and realize how little they affect us, so that we are fully rooted in God's love for us, fully rooted in that relationship, and can brush them away as though they are nothing. Because once we do that, we'll realize how powerful God is. God is our God, we are his people. There's nothing more we desire than him.